Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 54 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Ryan Telfair.
Henry Guilford.
Greg Henniger.
And joining us, Games Radar's newest associate editor...
Zach Betka.
Hello, Zach.
Hello.
That's how you pronounce it.
We've Betka. All been
I've just
afraid.
Been calling you, hey, Zach, that guy.
So, Zach, why don't you introduce yourself to the podcast-listening audience? Like, what have you done before and all that? What do you like?
Okay. Hi, podcast.
Listen,
audience.
I'm not a good podcast host. You don't have to laugh at me.
I am to this job straight out of college, just graduated from Carnegie Mellon and moved over from Pittsburgh. Super excited to be here. So
awesome. What kind of games do you like?
RPG all the time. I wrote the RPG section of the What Type of Gamer Are You? Straight from the heart.
That's pretty good.
Henry gave me a look like, fuck, now I have to compete with somebody for RPGs.
Yeah, I like this.
Are you a big Persona fan?
A huge Persona fan.
Okay.
We all went crazy about Golden when it came out and played it forever.
But I was ahead of the curve. I played it before Golden.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there. I played it a few years ago. Anyway. Stunning.
Lose nerds, right, Ryan?
Fucking nerds.
All right.
Are you excited to get out of Pittsburgh?
You know what? I like the winters, but I heard it gets cold here, so...
Cold as in, like, low 50s?
Yeah, 50s.
Okay.
Maybe low 50s.
Fake it gets cold and windy in the summer.
San Francisco makes you soft.
It does.
Like, oh, yeah.
When you go back, it's really jarring. Here's your, like... I know what cold is. I'm from a place where it actually gets cold. And you go back there like, oh, fuck, it's too cold!
Yeah.
Well, Cooper, don't you hate him as a Philadelphian?
I just hate him as a person. No.
Whoa.
No. Wow. There's not that much of a Philly-Pittsburgh rivalry.
I mean, if you're into sports, there is.
Yeah, but at the same time, Pittsburgh is almost like Alabama.
And
like the western half of Pennsylvania, the rest of Pennsylvania just forgets exists.
Also, sports are for nerds.
Didn't football start yesterday?
I think so. I saw a lot of people talking about it and was immediately bored.
The Broncos versus the Flyers? That's a hockey team.
Yes, it is. So. Nice try, though. All right. So thanks, everyone, who we met at the reader meetup at PAX.
Yeah,
and,
that was awesome.
I'm hoping you guys listened to our bonus PAX episode. And if you didn't, that'll explain why when we get to the previews section, we don't have too much to talk about because we talked about, like, 15 games.
Were a lot of people asking to see me at PAX and saying, like, hey, where's Henry?
Oh, God, no.
Where's Henry?
It was almost nobody. No. Everyone wanted to know where you were, Henry.
Yeah,
okay.
People asked.
And also, hopefully, we got a couple of diehard Talk Radar fans to start listening to
Radar. You know how many people would walk up? We had some people walk up and be like, hey, is this the Games Radar meetup? And we'd be like, yeah, do you listen to Radio Radar? And they'd be like, yeah. And then there are other people would be like, is this the Games Radar meetup? Yeah, cool. Do you guys listen to our current podcast? No.
No.
So where's no Chris Antista?
Where's Brett Elston and Chris Antista?
At this Games Radar meetup, where are all the people that stopped working at Games Radar 1 year ago?
Though we ended up having a bunch of fans from current era.
Yeah, it was
stuff.
Really cool. Nice to meet
and,
you.
And yeah, nice to meet everyone. So let's jump into the top seven written by Dave Rudden, who couldn't be here today because we don't know where he is.
He's out rudding around.
He's a good guy. Oh, I like Dave Rudden. His main job is he is features editor at OXM? Online editor for OXM.
Yeah, and every so often I am him because he's a good writer and say, hey, Dave Rudden, do you have any pitches? And I think he said that this idea for the top seven amazing unlockables that are nearly impossible to unlock, it was a feature he pitched right as soon as he started at OXM to old GR, and he said they never responded to him. So he finally gets to do this.
We were slow with our email responses.
Yeah. Starting with number seven, Dead Space 2's Foam Finger.
Yeah, I love that one.
It's number one.
What?
No, it's number one.
Get it? Because it's a foam finger.
Thank you, Ryan.
I got it.
Thank you.
Do you remember those foam fingers they sent out for GTA 4 that were...
The shocker ones?
The shocker one, yeah.
That was a little insensitive.
Well, it was just the
force. Well, not insensitive.
Yeah, he couldn't really wave it around in front of women.
It's just a sexual thing.
It was just saying, well, no, it's the number four. You can claim ignorance with that.
So the foam finger.
Foam finger, yeah. It's super hard to unlock as... based on thing. I think you have to beat the game on its hardest difficulty with
hardcore.
Just the plasma cutter, right? Is that how it works?
I don't know if you're limited in weapons, but it's like it's not New Game Plus, and I think the saves are limited as well. And
everything's just more difficult.
And one death is just the end. But when you get it, you get this foam gun that shoots nothing. It shoots invisible blasts, basically of like death air.
You just point at someone and they explode.
Well, then Isaac says, pachoo, pachoo, pachoo.
Yep. And he has a big red foam finger. It's actually not even doing like the number one gesture. It has the thumb up more like a fake gun foam finger.
Like this.
Yeah.
It was Don't nice point that at me, Ryan.
Okay.
I liked seeing that they had, you know, a sense of humor. Dead Space showing off its sense of humor. I think the foam finger made it back in 3, but it's coolest in 2.
Yeah.
Because 3 sucks.
Yeah.
Rude.
No, the 3 should have, man. Does anyone even remember Dead Space 3 happened?
I remember the first half of Dead Space 3 being the best of any Dead Space game.
Yeah. Well, I remember when you and I were talking about this when we were both playing it and I was reviewing it and you asked me what I thought, gut reaction, what do you think this score is going to end up? And I was like, right now it's totally a 9 at least. And then they started up being.
I think at the time, I told Greg, and then Greg ended up playing it and agreeing, but the first half of Dead Space 3 is the best Dead Space by far.
Of all of them.
The second half of Dead Space 3 could not be worse a Dead Space game.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a weird, clunky. Like, I was okay with the fact that you were going to be on a planet. Yeah. It's like they've always been copying.
The most terrifying part was on the planet.
Yeah. But, man, when you're in space on those, like, jumping between those ships,
it was really cool.
Holy hell. It's like they knew what they were doing, and then some manager walked in. It's like, how about if it just becomes Army of Two? Like, do you think people would like this game more if it was Army of Two? And they're like, I want to keep getting paid, so yes.
No, I don't think they would just say, hey, this should be Army of Two. They would say, studies and research that we've shown with consumers says that they want a Army of Two.
You know whose fault that was? You know who he can blame for that? Old GR editor Sterling McGarvey.
That's right. No, I think he came in too late to fix it.
Sterling, after he left GR, went to EA temporarily to be like a folk. We have no idea what he ended up
doing. It wasn't planned to be a temporary position.
No.
But,
it was a division that ended up getting shut down.
Yeah, that's sad.
May he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. Pieces.
Number 6.
What?
I don't know what the... Tobol number 1, the Toriyama Robo.
I don't even know what the hell this game
is. Do you want a long history lesson?
Go for it.
God, do I.
All right. Well, so this is
I need a song for Henry's long history lessons, but I don't have
that
one.
British song.
Send in a song,
the national
people.
Theme.
Say the British accent.
That was nice. Da, da,
da, da, da. All right, so Final Fantasy VII, do you remember that game?
Of course.
It had a demo that everybody was so crazy excited for, and it came with a fighting game that, like, Squaresoft, not Square Enix yet, they decided they'd make their own fighting game. They called it Tobol Number 1. So, Tobol Number 1 was the name of it.
Okay.
And it was an okay fighting game that had, like, kind of a very deep dungeon exploration mode, which would basically just, like, it was a first-person RPG, except when you got in a fight, it then became a fighting game instead of a battle. And it also was about making created characters, too. There's two characters I remember from. One guy that's a chicken man, and then a dude that looks like Trunks, because
the guy
that looks like
Trunks
is because all the characters in the game are designed by Akira Toriyama.
Oh, sure.
Creator of Dragon Ball Z, artist for Dragon Quest and Chrono Trigger.
Emperor of the United Kingdom.
And so once you get to the 30th level, of Tobol in the dungeon, you then unlock the Toriyama robot. But you just have to you can't die. If you die, you go back to the beginning of the dungeon. So
that was kind of very hard. Wasn't that kind of how Ear Guys worked? Is that how you pronounce that?
I don't remember. I did not play.
That had some weird dungeon exploration thing in it as well.
Have to say, Henry, you are so knowledgeable.
He's got encyclopedic knowledge of basically anything obscure.
It was beautiful.
No, it's pretty ridiculous.
He doesn't have like a Brett Elston level knowing of release dates, but he does have like. There'll just be times where we're like, "Hey, why did this company do this?" And all of a sudden we hear. Like it's a beat, like he's winding up, and then he just goes into like a 45-minute long story, and at the end it's just like, because the producer left. That's essentially what I was getting.
Usually it's prefaced with, "Did you know?"
And this smile of like, "Motherfucker, I know more than you."
I'm about to blow your mind.
And I'm not saying that as a resentful thing. Don't think it, because we genuinely love when that happens.
Oh no, it's incredible. Also, if you're a fan of the live streams, most of those trivia questions come from Henry G himself.
And it's just the same thing where it's like, "Henry, we need a question about blank."
Okay.
Well, did you know?
Well, I'll pull out some. Well, this week it was horror knowledge.
Yeah.
horror movies just aren't as good as they
I like how we're poking fun at Henry for, and that we're actually poking fun at the fact that he knows more than us. That's essentially the punchline.
Yeah, it's a defense. It's a defense mechanism.
Number five on the list of amazing unlockables that are nearly impossible to unlock.
Henry's mind.
Autumn in Super Mario World. Mm-hmm. Where when we posted about this, an ex-Nintendo PR person tweeted it. Like, I had no idea this even existed.
I didn't either. Until literally just right now.
It's pretty impossible. Yeah, I didn't know. I played Super Mario World the first time and when it came out, but I didn't know until like 97 that this existed because, yeah, it's you just have to beat everything in it a million times, like every hard world there is. Like, I seriously thought the worlds ended with Star World. I thought, oh, Star World's where it ends, right? And no, there's a place after that, which is a whole nother universe that's almost impossible to get to if you don't know. But once you do it, it completely reskins the game. Like, it makes it autumn in the world, so all the colors change on the leaves and in the backgrounds, and lots of enemies dress differently. And it's just, it's such a weird thing that they included.
Wearing Mario masks is so weird.
The Koopas wear Mario masks now. It's all just so very strange, and it reminds me of back in the day when a launch game, like all of Nintendo probably was working on Mario World together at one point. And they're like, well, this has to last people for months before a new game comes out.
Because people forget that what we're getting right now with the console wars, a.k.a. we're going to have, like, 5 months of no major releases. That happens every time, and people freak out and act like it's... Like, Nintendo is going to die. There's been nothing since launch. Well, but the N64 went 14 years without a game.
But back then, the Super NES, like, they at least knew they needed to, like, pack it full of secrets to find just to make it last forever. So it's very weird. You could still do it with the re-releases of it, but you're better off just looking at screens. Like, it's really hard to do.
And what you just said about it, you described it. That's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah.
What's next on the list? Number four, the Fierce Deity Mask in Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. So I don't remember this one being as hard to get as he says, unless I'm mistaken.
Well, no, getting
never mind. This one is difficult to get.
Getting every mask in the game is really hard.
Yeah.
Like, especially because there's one mask that that's usually the final mask everybody gets, which is, so the concept of Majora's Mask is it's Groundhog Day, 3 days repeat over and over again until you can prevent the end of the world. And in those 3 days, there is this star-crossed lovers that are trying to meet each other. And if you miss one step, like there's 14 steps to it that happen at exact times every day of those 3 days. If you miss one of them, you have to start over again.
Oh my God.
And so, yeah, you just meet them and you have to like, this guy that's cursed is in love with the innkeeper and you have to, like, exchange a bunch of gifts between them. And the last step is the hardest one because you have to go meet them, like, on a hill somewhere 5 minutes before it's game over.
Right.
And then they go, like, you know what? We're going to die together because we're so happy. Here's a mask. And then you have to immediately go back in time before you die.
Yeah. And having that mask is amazing, too, because you can finally, once again, since the original NES Zelda, shoot projectile beams.
Yeah.
Sword beams.
Essentially lasers. Pretty much lasers.
When you're at full health, you can shoot Well, also because you spend the whole game as young Link, and now it makes you basically grown-up Link, except with scary white hair and fierce disposition.
I think the reason that I felt like that mask wasn't as difficult to get is because I never beat Majora's Mask. I got like super far in it and then quit and then went over to my friend's house and beat the last boss and I think he had the mask.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is easy. I already got it.
Oh, yeah.
With the mask on, he ruins the boss.
He does. It's just you look at the boss and spam like you're playing a fighting game and then he just dies.
That might be the most ridiculous boss Zelda's ever fought. Like, of a final boss for that
Link's
game.
Link's ever fought?
Zelda 2. but yeah, that Majora, it's like a bunch of tendrils come out of the mask, and then he like does like a Russian like hopping Cossack dance. Like, it's very, it's real silly, but that game is just a weird ass game.
Speaking of silly, Number three on the list of the amazing unlockables that are impossible to unlock is tofu in Resident Evil 2.
I remember reading about tofu in, was it OPM back then? Official yeah. PlayStation Magazine?
Did you read it? You weren't a PSM reader?
No, I was a PSM reader. The two were separate.
Yeah.
Right.
One
okay,
was
yeah.
Ziff, so, and one was owned by your future corporate
overlord. So I read PSM. That was the one I had, and I just remember seeing them talk about this, and there was screenshots. I was like, what the hell? You can play as a dry block of tofu?
Yeah, you can just replace some characters with
killer tofu.
With tofu. OEU. Mm-hmm. No. Well technically.
Didn't they didn't they put that character model in the game just to test hitboxes and stuff?
Yeah, it wasn't even tofu, it was just a white block. Right. Which they said, oh, that looks like tofu. But yeah, it was just for testing of the game.
And you had to get an A rank at the end of Resident Evil 2. And you had to beat it under 3 hours with three saves or less, and oof, you couldn't use first aid sprays or unlockable weapons or infinite ammo. And I think you also had to play through the game. Yeah, you had
naked.
To. Yeah, well, I'm looking on here. It says you had to beat the game like 6 times to do it.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
And granted, like if you look at speedruns of Resident Evil 2, you can beat that game in like 45 minutes if you really know what
it
you're doing.
It can be done, yes. Also, the tofu came back, at least once I remember, in the light gun games that were on the Wii, the Chronicles games.
Oh, right.
You could turn on tofu mode, and then the zombies that run at you are tofu instead, and it looks kind of fun to just shoot the tofu and see like chunks of it fly off. Like, I think I prefer that to zombies now. Zombies are so boring.
You think that you need to do more tofu?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number two on the list, the Vandalier class in Vandal Hearts. Anyone?
Even I have little to say about
it. I remember Dave Rudden sent me and like told me he was keeping from me, and I thought it was going to be some like awesome surprise, and then when he sent it, he was just like, surprise, motherfucker! I snuck in a Vandal Hearts thing into this gallery. And I shook my fist at him. But essentially, throughout the course of Vandal Hearts, there are 6 keys hidden in select battlefields and blah, 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 blah. And you get a class.
Fun.
Well, it's a really great class.
It is. It's a bench. And he describes it as the debug mode of character classes. You get, like, pretty much unlimited power and instant victory for every level. It's just essentially like, good job, you broke the game. Here's a
you
character
this.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
And number one on the list of the amazing unlockables that are almost impossible to unlock is Donkey Kong in Punch-Out for the Wii.
That was such an awesome thing when I found out about that, because I almost thought it was like even cooler because they teased ahead of time when the game came out. They were like, I knew that they were saying, Nintendo was saying to reviewers, do not reveal the secret final boss. And a lot of people were thinking, like, did they secretly get back Mike Tyson and make him the final boss? Oh, man, that'd be awesome. But
that's such a non-Nintendo thing to do now. Like, they probably didn't even try. Mike Tyson could have offered, and they'd be like, no.
No. He's like, I'll do it for free. Just get the name out.
They'd rather just be like, it's Birdo. It's Birdo, you guys. But no, it's if you title defense mode, which is everybody is super strong, including even up to Glass Joe, everyone is nearly impossible to defeat. You have to beat the entire roster twice. You have to beat it. After you beat Title Defense mode, you unlock Last Stand mode, which is if you lose 3 times, your career's finished. And the last boss of that, who you can unlock, is the incredibly difficult Donkey Kong. Mm. And it's just, I mean, imagine you're fucking boxing Donkey Kong. Punches people. That's
totally
what he
makes
does.
Sense that, like, why wasn't Donkey Kong playable before, or not playable, but a villain before in the game? Like, he's a giant ape. Of course he's going to be good at punching you. Well, I guess an ape might just as easily just bite your neck or something.
Yeah, but, I mean, his main move in Smash Brothers is a charge-up punch. Mm-hmm.
Well, and if you remember in the baseball Mario games, the Sluggers games.
Yeah.
DK doesn't carry a bat. He punches the baseball when it gets thrown at him.
That's all he
that
has to
hurt
do.
That would hurt so bad.
Not when you're DK.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he has bones in his fingers just like us.
So that's it for the top 7 amazing unlockables that are nearly impossible to unlock. You can check out a new top 7 every week on Games Radar, and next week it's actually written by a certain Zachary.
It is my first one.
Zachary Comstock.
Zachary Brack.
Yeah. Wrote his first, one of his first articles on the site. It's going to be a top 7. So you can look forward to that next week.
Coming out of the gate strong.
Yep. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to jump into the news. I have no idea why we're playing that song.
Because it's the best song ever written.
Surely win.
All right, welcome to the second segment. We're going to jump into the news. November 22nd release date for the Xbox One. I'm surprised because I really thought they were going to take advantage of Sony going for the second week in November and try to go earlier, but no such luck. They're going after.
And
Zach,
before.
You think that's you're surprised by that move?
I think it's going to be a great Thanksgiving regardless. Truly.
Yeah. Do you think they should have gone before Sony, though, or do you think that it doesn't really matter in the long term?
I don't think it really matters in the long term, truly. I think the camps are pretty split on both consoles right now, and the Sony people would have gotten a PS4, and Xbox would have gotten Xbox regardless. So I think it's fine.
Yeah, and it also lines up. I mean, there are so many games that were coming out around that time anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as Zach said, I think anybody who is planning on buying a console at launch already knows which one they're going to be getting.
I also, when I said that I thought it was a bad move on Twitter, more than a few people responded to me like they both will sell out immediately anyway in their first thing. So
yeah. It's true.
It doesn't really matter who goes first in weeks. And it's also like we're from an American standpoint, they are giving Sony the advantage. Yet in Europe, they are not. They are going a week before Sony.
And they come packed in with FIFA, which is huge in Europe.
It's a pretty big deal.
And Forza, right? Don't they get Forza also? Wasn't that revealed?
I don't think it's two games.
One,
right?
Xbox One. FIFA 14.
But I think I've still heard that America might get a free game with the Xbox as well.
Forza 5 now offered free with Xbox One. Day one pre-order in UK.
Wow.
How about that?
You can get either.
Well, Microsoft needs to be aggressive like that because, you know, Sony dominated them in Europe. Even with the shitty PS3 compared to the Xbox 360. That's shitty.
Sony's beating Microsoft out release date-wise in the North American markets.
And price-wise.
Really curious what you guys think end of year one is going to look like because I have a hard, as much, you know, as excited as I am for Sony, I also feel like Microsoft has them beat pretty hard in terms of exclusive games.
You mean like where we're going to be a year from now?
At the end of the first year of both consoles, which one do you think?
When you say first year, do you mean 2014 November?
2014 November.
Okay.
By then, what do you think will the situation be?
I don't know. It depends. I mean, so the exclusives, so the difference is, and I could be wrong, but Microsoft's exclusives are console exclusives, but Sony's exclusives are actual exclusives, but they're not as big. So you have, like, obviously, you're going to see units moving because of Titanfall, but PC gamers aren't going to buy an Xbox One because of Titanfall. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, you have Infamous Second Son, which is going to do really well with the people who already own a PS4, but it's probably not going to be a system seller.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I feel like some of the console exclusives that Microsoft has lined up are ones that will be able to sell systems, whereas
Titanfall is definitely a system seller.
I think people are buying a lot of people might pick up a PS4 and be like, yeah, I can't wait for the cool stuff to come out on this, but maybe not necessarily buy it because, yeah, I can't wait to play Killzone. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, Sony seems to be working really hard to make people think Destiny is an exclusive to the PS4, but it is not. But after PAX, I didn't realize so many, like, I knew people loved Titanfall at E3, but PAX, well, like, everybody and at Gamescom, like, everybody came back saying, like, at least on Twitter, Titanfall, oh my god, Titanfall, I want to play more Titanfall.
Yeah, it's fully playable at PAX.
Like, people were just so stoked for it that I think it could end up being the Call of Duty killer. Like, it could be the game that get people finally go, like,
is it gonna
Call
need,
of Duty's
I,
old,
I don't
man.
Know if it
Let's
needs to be.
Titanfall.
They're not releasing it as a real competitor if they're releasing it 6 months after.
And I'll also be curious to see how Ghosts performs this year because I hear basically no one excited about it, but then again, nobody ever really expresses super hardcore interest in Call of Duty, and
they
still sell them.
They just
buy it.
I'm super interested. I'm also, I mean, I think the real winners in terms of when these are coming out are PC gamers, because you're going to have all of these great, like Battlefield 4, Call of Duty, and Assassin's Creed are all coming out a few weeks before the next gen starts, and you're going to have to either get current gen versions, which are probably going to be kind of crappy because these games are being built for next gen, or you can get the PC version, which is going to look and play probably identical, if not better,
Than
the quote-unquote next gen versions. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll be really curious because, of course, Sony's pushing the indie scene, but I that's not enough to sell machines.
I think if they push the indie, I think if like all those games are on Vita and PS4, I think that you're going to end up seeing people almost through attrition be like, fine, there are 30 indie games I want to get. I might as well buy those platforms.
Yeah. But if Titanfall can like achieve Call of Duty level popularity or even Halo level popularity, which the more I see it, the more I think it's possible, like, that could just be the difference maker. Like,
what's the last game to really reach that level of like crazy popularity?
Of a mainstream of people
not,
buying.
What's the last non-Skylanders to reach I guess this is just the biggest franchise in a while.
I guess
probably
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Gears.
Yeah.
Even I don't know, the most recent Gears didn't sell great.
The most recent one, no.
And but Assassin's Creed still did.
No, Battlefield is before that. I think it would be Assassin's Creed.
It like feels weird because we haven't had one. And like, we haven't had a new AAA franchise
maybe,
that became the next big thing in 4 years.
Arkham games, I guess.
Arkham's probably.
That was still, when did that come out? 2008?
First one?
2009. So it's been 4 years since the last true new AAA IP.
We've been talking about the stagnancy of the industry kind of for a while, at least when it comes to AAA releases.
That might be the main reason that we need this next gen.
Exactly. When did the original BioShock come out?
2008.
Seven.
Yeah, okay. And even that, BioShock reviews well and sells okay. Like Infinite sold like a Infinite's probably I think Infinite sold less than Tomb Raider.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Because okay. the those games, it's almost like the movies that win Best Picture never end up being the top grossing movies, and that's essentially what you're looking at.
But
like
they're profitable.
Yeah, the only Oscar ones that Best do Picture both are profitable. Grand Theft Auto games.
Well, I mean,
or will they?
When you say the next big thing, do you mean turn into a franchise,
or like the next big? I guess so. I guess the next big franchise.
Because I think one of the few studios that Sony has that will probably just sell units straight out is Naughty Dog for sure.
Yeah, and whatever Sony Santa Monica is working on. If they're really working on like a reboot of God of War or the new thing,
I
don't know. The rumor, the rumor I heard from some people who. To mention, Sony Santa Monica a few years ago was starting work on a post-apocalyptic God of War. Darksiders-style Kratos kind of thing. That's a cool idea.
When do I hope something happens with the Darksiders stuff. Did anyone end up buying that up, or was just Platinum expressing interest?
Someone bought it.
No, it was...
Crytek? Is that who did
no.
it?
No. It was the Norwegian company.
Yeah, did they end up buying it?
They bought a bunch of them.
I think they bought it as part of a set. But it was Sony Santa Monica. Corey Barlog came back, the director of GOW2.
Yeah, you're right.
I do think like there's going to be Halo next year. You know that'll probably be Microsoft's tentpole release in November. So Sony's going to need Uncharted whatever or whatever the next Naughty Dog thing is.
Again, that is the big difference I think between the two. While Sony often has more exclusives, it doesn't have ones that are strong enough to sell units. Whereas Microsoft's repeatedly.
Yeah, but when I think of like when I say mainstream success, I mean like I just remember. Circa 2007 when Modern Warfare came out, like Call of Duty was a game all my gamer friends had heard of, but then I heard people who I thought would never have even heard of games who when it used to be they'd say like, hey, let's play Mario or let's play Madden. Now they were saying, let's Call of Duty, man, let's Modern Warfare, and I just thought that was crazy. Like that's the kind of to use marketing terms, deep penetration.
You're good.
Anyway, deep penetration, market penetration that I expect. I think Titanfall is capable of.
And then if you look at, but at the same time, let's look at that leaked Ubisoft document. Because if we're talking about the future of the industry and maybe some more original IPs, there was a leaked document that Ubisoft revealed was true. They're like, yeah, that's real. We'll talk about it later. But on the flyer was Assassin's Creed Liberation HD, Assassin's Creed Pirates, Auto Dance 2. Child of Light, End War Online, Rabbids, Big Bang, Rayman Fiesta Run, and Valiant Hearts.
Huh.
So Ubisoft still looks like a sequel machine with exception to...
End War was a Tom Clancy thing, wasn't it?
Yep, yeah. It was that voice command RTS.
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be like so ahead of its time, like, command your troops.
Yeah.
Do all,
but... So let's go down the list. So Assassin's Creed Liberation HD, is anybody actually surprised by this? Regardless of the fact that it was kind of mediocre, that game had...
Like, there was just not its platform just did not have enough of an audience for them, and it's not it's an easy thing for them to HD that game and put it out on PlayStation.
Yeah, for that kind of event, like Sony must have made a deal with them. Like, please, we need an exclusive.
They got a 1 year exclusive, or actually more than that. It came out. It came out about a year ago. Yeah,
October, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe, just a year ago. That's when I got my white
first game I reviewed for GR as a staff member.
I got a white Vita with that, and I have yet to play the game, but I enjoy my white Vita.
And then we have Assassin's Creed Pirates, which the rumor I read on actually Games Radar, I guess is where I read this, was and I don't know if it was rumor or just Connor Sheridan speculating, but that just sounds mobile or tablet game. Or yeah. It could be a companion. Like, there's a companion app to Assassin's Creed.
Well, they love those second screen
shit. It could
just
be that. I have no idea what Auto Dance 2 is.
Oh.
I got excited when I read about Child of Light, but it is not a Children of Eden sequel.
Yeah, that's
it's just some RPG they confirmed already. Rabbids Big Bang. I don't know.
Another goofball Rabbids game.
Yeah, Rayman Fiesta Runs, probably a Rayman Temple Run sequel, and Valiant Hearts is a JRPG. So they...
I heard Rayman's Temple Run game is pretty good.
Supposed to be good, yeah.
I've now hit a wall with my Windows phone. There's a number of games that, like, I tried to download, and they're like, no, you need the Windows Phone 8. Like,
you need to get off that Windows Phone.
It is like 2 years old.
You need to get off of Windows Phone.
Nah, not going to do that.
Why not? You don't need the achievements.
Well, they just bought Nokia, so...
That means nothing. What's the last phone Nokia made that people care about?
Well, they made some pretty cool Lumias that for Windows Phone. That I was pretty interested in.
The last interesting phone they made is the one you own.
Well, Zach, you're a Windows Phone user, right?
I love the Windows Phone, but I don't have one.
What?
I think the aesthetics are gorgeous.
Speaking of
like
which, I think now is the time for this intervention.
I love that Metro layout.
So, Zach.
What?
I saw you researching your feature. Out of the corner of my eye, looked like you might be using Bing.
Okay. No, my defense is that... IT set me up with Bing and set me up with Internet Explorer, and
they
I didn't know.
Set you up with a website? You didn't know how to use it.
I
saw you using a Bing with Internet Explorer.
Oh boy,
that's what you were doing.
It was a painful and tragic moment.
So you're not a Bing user by trade.
I'm not a Bing user.
Okay. We thought that we had just stumbled across like your secret porn site or something.
We legit had a debate last night. Like, what do we do about this?
How do we handle this?
No. Tom came over and he's like, you know, you can use Chrome, and I was like, oh.
So something you're going to learn about Tom and the podcast listeners know all too well is that motherfucker can't keep a secret, and he also can't keep a bit going. So when I told him that you were using Bing and that we wanted to save it for the podcast, and Greg saw it. He looked like he was going to vomit because he couldn't run over and be like, somebody told me something that they don't want me to tell someone.
He was just shaking at
his desk. The cherry on top is the first day I went to Bing something and Bing was down. I was like, I cannot work at this company if we use Bing, but...
Remember there was the day after the Xbox One was revealed, if you Googled Xbox One, it was pictures of the Xbox One. If you Binged Xbox One, it was just a bunch of pictures of the original Xbox.
Oh, that was funny.
There's also, on that same note, there was at PAX, there were these QR codes you could scan.
Oh,
there was an app, Mountain Dew / Doritos app, where you could scan barcodes, and every time you scanned one, you were entered into a contest to win an Xbox One. Microsoft sponsored through them. There was an Android app. There was an iPhone app.
No.
Certainly was not a Windows Phone app for this mic. Henry just nodded like a, that seems about right nod.
Well, I mean, we're like, when we've gone on trips, when we've gone on work trips, they go like, hey, let's all do Vines together. I'm like, well, there's no Vine app on my.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, okay, everybody's got Google Cloud, right, on here. Like, no. No,
yeah, we got an email about TGS. Like, just use Google Voice, and I just saw you like your head, you like slumped in your chair. Like,
look, Skype's just as good,
and you have SkyDrive, which is
the
same.
SkyDrive's great. Good.
Hey Henry, let's cheer up. Why don't you talk about Pokemon Bank?
Pokemon Bank. Yeah, speaking of things in the sky. This is cloud.
Okay,
cloud-based saves.
You got there.
We were all wondering where you were going.
He said SkyDrive, and I was just when I said he, I was pointing at Zach. For the listener, I clarify that Pokemon.
Thanks,
Bank.
Tom.
So Pokemon X and Y is coming out on October 12th, but there's a problem. People have too many Pokemon. You can't in the in-game storage. You're like stuck with only like 500, 1,000 Pokemon you can save. So now,
like a commoner.
So now they created the Pokemon Bank, where it's a cloud-based system that you can upload Pokemon off your 3DS to the Pokemon Bank. But it gets even better. You see, this was a problem for many Pokemon fans for a while, was that a 3DS game cannot talk to a DS game.
Right.
So,
by the way, that is like a manufactured mistake.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? But anyway, so they can't talk to each other. But now that previously would have stranded your old Pokemon on Black and White.
Another wall they've created.
But now, if you put your DS card in your 3DS with the Pokemon Bank app, you can then upload all your Pokemon from those games to Pokemon Bank and then re-download them to X and Y.
That's so nice.
Your characters aren't all lost. So.
Back when I was in Michigan and used to do shows with my buddy, acoustic shows with my buddy all the time, we played this song every set.
In my talent show, I had two friends that went up like they were going to do something regular, and then they sang the Pokemon theme song, and when everyone started cheering like they were going to stop, they like took their hats, spun them backwards, and then did the full Poke rap. They're like, oh, we're not done yet.
Oh, that is great. Last bit. It's an annual fee. Though Nintendo of America hasn't named it yet. And I want to say something to all the smarty pantses out there who are like, they said it's $5. Duh. Like, no. Nintendo of Japan said it was 500 yen. I don't think they're going to charge 500 yen in America, assholes.
Wow.
I think they haven't said what the price is. It could be $5 in America, but they haven't said what it is.
Everybody's got so sassy.
All right.
So to elaborate on that.
It's his birthday. He can do whatever he wants.
You weren't supposed to say that.
No. Why?
No, you can.
Okay. Cool. Just
happy 30th birthday.
By the time this comes out, it won't be his birthday.
31st. And it is it is out on my birthday.
Oh, it's coming out on his birthday.
Friday
Happy
is my birthday.
You're welcome.
I don't know if this. I mean, is Japan? Do they have a lot of like monthly fee kind of things in Japan? I was trying to think of a non-racist way to say: do Japanese people pay monthly fees?
The internet is still a new idea. Not really. No, that's wrong. They just don't use it in the way Westerners use the internet. There's just not traditions of charging a fee for it, like. That's why there's all these free-to-play games that come out of just Asia in general, not just Japan. But like Dragon Quest, like for example, Dragon Quest X does have a monthly fee. FF14 and 11, those had monthly fees in Japan as well. Mm-hmm. But Monster Hunter is not. It's free online.
I'm just sort of wondering because like maybe the $5 yearly at that point, that's almost sunk costs. At that point, it almost makes more sense for them not to do it. But I'm wondering if they're going to charge more for the U.S. just because like they know how much they can get away with charging. In each country. In the U.S., they could probably say $30 a year, that would be fine.
I think in America, they'd also have the problem of, like, if they said $5, Americans would say, that sounds too cheap. This is a cheap service.
Or
it's a cheap charge.
You'd have, like, 10% of people being like, $5 a month, I'm not paying that shit.
Yeah.
Because that's too little
girl.
Money. Girl.
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 Also, can you explain the starters thing? Because I still don't fully understand this.
In the game, they introduce this dude in X and Y, Professor Sycamore, who is the tree-named professor of the game.
I just watched Greg try to think of a pun and fail.
Yep.
And it's tradition. It's tradition that a professor named after a tree will give you your starter. But he doesn't give you your X and Y starter in the game. He gives you your friend in the game gives you your regular starter. But then when you meet Professor Sycamore, he gives you the original start. You get one of the original starters, Squirtle, Charizard, or Bulbasaur. And then those guys can do a mega evolution. So they reveal cool, awesome mega evolutions for the three original starters.
And they're like covered with spikes, right?
Is it cool?
They get pointier.
Is it awesome?
I know you're skeptical on this, Ryan. I swear to God, I'm going to stab you in the fucking throat. While doing a podcast you distract Greg, I'm going to stab you in the throat.
I was saying cool.
Seriously, full warning.
All right.
Next time, Ryan, see this pen? This one looks sharper than a normal pen.
I have sensitive skin.
I will stab you right there in the throat.
It'll get buried in my fat. It won't actually hurt me.
I know. So it's actually just me. It's actually saying go ahead and do it because it'll be like a tickle.
So Zach, I think the Mega Evolutions are kind of cool because, the old designs of like Charizard, Venusaur, like they're getting old to me. Like I love them, they're iconic, but I want something new. I want some sexier.
Man, I do not agree. Like the Blastoise with the thingy just sticking right out. I just
Blastoise has cool, like arm cannons.
They've already shown
like,
the Mega Evolutions.
Venusaur has like a little dude on his face.
I need to look at these because
obviously dude on his face. Obviously, you're not watching Pokemon X and Y Weekly on Game Radar.
I'm too focused on Star Wars Battlefront Weekly on Game Radar.
The thing that gets less views than Pokemon X and Y Weekly.
Oh!
When's your game coming out?
Oh, there's no. Hold on. Like 2 weeks. I have to imagine this is fake. The Mega Evolution for fucking... There's a picture from NeoGAF, a Mega Evolution for Bidoof. I know this can't be true. It looks like Bidoof mixed with like a...
I love that Bidoof one. That is great.
God, I hope that's real. I know it's not, but I hope it's real. It looks so like funny. Bidoof as like a friggin' Aztec god.
Let's see the others.
I hope they do.
No, those are Ho-Oh's wings. That's totally...
Oh, yeah, Ho-Oh's wings.
Well, it's a lot of Pokemon just stitched together.
Yeah, right? So there's Blastoise's...
Blastoise almost looks like he's a modded Blastoise. He doesn't even look like a different Blastoise.
He's got kind of a goatee now, too.
Charizard's just spikier.
Yep.
To see. I'm not finding good pictures. I'm embarrassed.
And Venusaur has a big flower on its head, which is kind of silly.
Charizard just kind of looks like
they haven't taken drastic design changes, I would say, so far.
Well, I almost wish they would have gone more drastic.
I think they went pretty
drastic with some of the other Mega Evolutions, so I expected them to take it.
They're like, we should just make Venusaur look exactly as derpy as ever. He just looks like if Venusaur kept growing.
Now he has a nice hat.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just a
little
loud.
We laugh now, but
because now I won't get sunburned.
Yeah, we'll wait for the
mega
double
evolution.
Solar beam.
That's double Ryan's solar. Mega Evolution. He gets a hat.
My Mega Evolution would be losing 40 pounds. That'd be nice.
And getting a chin.
Is there a way to do that without exercise or changing diet?
Yes.
Liposuction.
I was going to go with starvation. It's not a diet if you don't eat anything. And last big news story, Mighty Number 9.
Wow, that was pretty crazy at PAX, I gotta say.
And by the way, people at PAX had no idea it happened.
Yeah, no, it went totally by us.
Yeah.
They were busy.
I know a couple people that knew what it happened during PAX.
Were they upset about it?
You know, I can't speak to that.
Okay, so what is Mighty Number 9?
Mighty Number 9, it's Mega Man. It just is Mega Man. The guy, Keiji Inafune, the creator of Mega Man, former Capcom exec who quit 3 years ago because he's like, Capcom's full of shit. I'm making my own stuff. Is now making another Mega Man game, all but name.
Yeah,
God, so the music is so
fantastic.
Good. I love the sound. Man. Let's just listen for a little bit, and I skip forward about 40 seconds.
Wait, so are you disappointed that it's like Mega Man?
I'm very excited about it. I think is. Capcom just, they've had 2 years to announce a new Mega Man game since he left the company, and they haven't done it. Like, they do nothing with Mega Man. So, of course, he can just come in and be like, well, if they're not going to make Mega Man, I'll make the next Mega Man. And we'll just call it Mighty Number 9, make it 90% Mega Man, and just have that 10% buffer for legal purposes.
I also like how, his name is Beck.
Yeah,
and I understand why. It makes sense when you take into account that in Japan he's Rockman, but in the U.S. he goes from Mega Man to Beck. It's kind of a weak comparison.
Yeah, when he fights 8 robot masters, he shoots fucking yellow pellets out of a cannon on his hand. It's just a regular platforming game. We can't even say really what it is. There aren't screens for it yet. It doesn't exist to that point. There's only been concept art. Because the game won't be out till early 2015, at best. But they launched the Kickstarter, funded in a little over 24 hours.
Yep.
At this point, I believe they've hit their second-to-last announced stretch goal, which I still think it's BS. So they announced it, and they said, oh, but it's only PC. But if we make... they wanted $900,000 for the game. They say if they get to $2.2 million, then it'll be on consoles, which, like, people only want to play Mega Man games on consoles. They don't want to play it on PC. There was that PC game of Mega Man Cross Street Fighter, which was a fan game that Capcom published, which I thought was pretty cool, but I know a million people who just skipped it because they're like, I don't play Mega Man on PC, even if I plug in an Xbox controller. I'm not doing that.
It's like playing Sonic on PC.
Yeah, exactly.
They're at 1.7 million right now out of a 900,000 goal.
Well, if it's 1.75, then they hit their the documentary goal.
They have hit it. They have hit it. And so 2.2 is the next one. And there is another one. It's just
Mystery.
Question marks.
So, yeah, and it's not just that it's the creator of Mega Man doing it. Like, he's also hired nine other Mega Man veterans working on the game, including that song we heard is the Mighty Number 9 theme. It's written by Murame, is I believe her name. She was the composer for the first Mega Man.
Manami Mutsume.
Manami Mutsume, sorry. Thank you.
You should be.
Why is it called Number 9?
Because he's the ninth robot that was made.
There are 8 robot masters, I mean mighty numbers. There are 8 previous mighties who are the robot masters that he fights. He is the ninth one who fights them. Mm. And then there's also, like, they showed his sidekick or his, could be his sister, named Call. Not Roll. Call. Oh, Roll Call. I wonder if that's meant to be.
I think it is.
And she looks just like Roll, like she's blonde. Well, some
It's supposed to be like it's a Beck, like Beckon.
Yeah, Beck
and
Call. But also Roll Call is the thing.
Yeah,
too.
But it's not Rock and Beck. That doesn't work.
Yeah, Rock Beck. Well, you know, Beck makes Rolling Rock, right?
I don't know.
Also, if you give $10,000, you get to have dinner with Inafune.
Okay, there were over 500 people that pledged $1,000 to get drawings from him. Did you see that? No, $500.
Yes.
Over 1,000 people gave $500 to get a sketch from him.
And 200 people.
And they 200 people. And then, well, they've expanded it. Now more people can pledge 600 and get second run of them. Like, that's crazy.
Is he drawing once and copying it, or is it a
it's an original sketch.
No, it is a sketch. Like, they showed a picture. Here's
that's
the
still going to take forever.
It's a head
for him.
No, like, look at the sketch. It's not much more than his signature.
No way.
It's like a circle with eyes. It's essentially.
But it's yours. Well,
I mean, honestly, that's going to take him less than a minute
to do 600 of
per. But that's a few days of work for $600 each.
Pretty good.
If that supports his game, those are the kind of sacrifices the Kickstarter people should make.
Yeah.
But,
so I
think it's really cool. Again, if Capcom's not going to make a Mega Man game, then this guy stepped up to do it. So I'm excited. I did pledge to it. I also pledged to the...
How much did you pledge?
The $40 one, I think it is, to get the soundtrack and the digital art book.
For $60, you get a physical copy of the game.
Nah, I don't need that. But, like, it's... But, again... These are these Kickstarters that I'll just forget. Like, in 2015, when I finally get the email, like, it's done. Here's your download code for the...
Be sure you hide it from the zombie overlords.
Yeah, it's just so hard to even imagine 2015. What a life be like in 2015.
I don't have a sound effect ready.
That was Mighty Number 9 soundtrack.
Woo. That's a good flashback set.
So we got a preview of a game we'll probably not be playing until 2015. Metal Gear Solid 5.
Specifically Ground Zeroes is what
I'm sorry. I need to clarify that because no one knows what the fuck
is going on. I still have no idea.
So
I flew out to Konami's new LA-based studio, which that studio...
In the heart of Los Santos.
Yeah, that studio... Los Santos. That studio's purpose is only to make the online component of whatever is going to be in Metal Gear 5. So... Huh. But they wanted to show us the new studio, which was completely devoid of anything because it's brand new. There's, like, nothing in it yet. And But Hideo Kojima was there along with Shinkawa.
Yoji Shinkawa.
And they showed us a playable demo. I mean, they played a demo of Ground Zeroes, which opened with that, like, 10-minute-long cutscene that everybody's already seen where Big Boss is sneaking up to the Camp Omega base. Where Skullface is at.
Skullface. I love that they call him Skullface.
He's a creepy looking dude, I gotta say. But they're just like, yeah, look, this is actually how the game works. It is totally playable. Here, we are playing it right here. And they had a 360 controller plugged into a PC. But I think there are some interesting changes then, and I don't know how Metal Gear fans will react to them. I suspect a lot of people may not enjoy them. Specifically, like, when you get seen by a guard, and there is still that red exclamation point, and it makes that alert noise. But every time you get caught, Everything slows down. It goes into like a slow motion mode for like a half a second or a second, and in that time you can kill whoever spotted you, and then they won't be able to alert anybody. So, but it reminded me of like you know, one of the slow-mo door breaches that you'd find in a Call of Duty or Battlefield. And I was just like, well, that's weird that that's going to happen every time that you get caught.
Yeah, and then you shoot someone in the face.
And so there's that. One thing that's really cool though, because you know they're going to be making it an open world game, is the fact that when you're approaching a base, you can scout it out. You have binoculars. You can use them to tag enemies like you would in Far Cry 3 is what it reminded me of. So you tag
Do that again? Can't you also kind of do that in Tomb Raider, I think? Wasn't there a tagging thing?
I think there was.
I could be wrong.
To tag enemies?
I don't remember.
So. Or you can just see them through walls, maybe.
Yeah. But you can tag enemies, and once you do, they're permanently tagged, and they'll show up on even your map. You have like a holographic map that you can pull, or a hologram, is that the right word?
Either one works.
Anyways, you can pull up a map, and it's kind of like a Google Maps looking thing. Like, you can see all the structures and all the roads and alleyways, and if you've tagged someone, they show up as a red triangle on your thing, so you can kind of plan out your route, which is really cool. I like that it gives you that like open-ended approach to it, but I don't think that's super different from at least the last couple Metal Gear games. Usually that each level is kind of open enough to where you can do something
sure
how you want, but and then they showed us some vehicles. He got caught, got in a firefight, ran, hopped in a Jeep, and drove away, and opened up his map. And you can call a helicopter to come extract you from your home base. But there were, like, multiple points that he could send it to, which was kind of cool, too. But, yeah, I think otherwise it looked a lot more like a Splinter Cell game to me than it did.
Like an open-world Splinter Cell?
Yeah, than it did a Metal Gear game. And also Kiefer Sutherland's voice. I got to hear, you know, it was all English demo, and so I heard him speak as Big Boss. He kind of has the same sound as David Hayter did, but obviously it's missing that, like, gravelly, distinct, you know, snake kind of voice. And it sounded a little underwhelming, I think. Like, almost like it was just phoned in kind of performance. He's like...
It sounds like you're just kind of...
I was
lukewarm on the game to begin with.
Yeah, well, I love the Metal Gear franchise, and I went away from it feeling kind of... I'm very excited for the open world stuff, in that I think it'll make the you know, the infiltrations more interesting. But I guess I'm a little concerned about some of the other changes that were made.
Well, it's hard to get excited when they show you something they showed a year ago.
Yeah,
just again.
Yeah, there's really nothing new in the demo they showed. And in fact, the mission objective they played, they programmed into the game, I think, like, just for our demo. Because it was, what happened was, you know, they're in the cutscene, Skullface is flying away in the helicopter. They erase the XOF symbols from the helicopter exterior. And then he's holding those badges in his hand, the Fox and XOF badges. He throws them out of the helicopter. And the mission we had was to find the red badge. And so it was just like, it seemed like a throwaway thing. I'm wondering if maybe that's a collectible you can find.
Bet, yeah.
So, anyways.
But they still didn't say if Ground Zeroes is a separate game or not.
Wouldn't say. He was asked directly, you know, yes, he's like, yes, this is a prologue to the Phantom Pain. And then he was asked, okay, but is it a separate purchase, or are they included on the same disc? And he just, like, stared blankly and would not respond. And they're like, all right, next question. And
That's an important difference. If it's, like, disc one of a two-disc game or something.
Yeah, and he kept being like, oh, it's like the tanker portion from Metal Gear Solid 2. And I'm like, okay, so it's just a brief hour introduction, you know, maybe it's, and then maybe it's on the same disc. He's like, yeah, I can't say. So
if it is on the same disc, I'm going to be super... I know he's Kojima and he's zany, but I'm still going to be annoyed by this, because it's like, if it's not something impressive that you're doing, if it's not like we're releasing it for free 3 months before it comes out to get you ready on PSN and it's on disc or something, if it's literally just like, yeah, it's on disc, I just didn't want to say it, it's like, that dude, don't stop fucking playing this game. Nobody's impressed anymore.
I wonder if Konami and him are just in a disagreement. I don't know who would be on what side, but like, that one side wants it to be released like a year before Phantom Pain comes out, just so they can sell a game early.
Yeah.
And the other one wants to sell it as a full, just one only game. But I think like, people are, they want Metal Gear 5 as soon as possible. So if they could just sell people a like $40 4 hour chunk of Metal Gear 5,
Or what if they release it for $10 and then it's also on the disc? Like, release it for $10 6 months early and it's also on the disc, and you can digitally upgrade for the rest of the thing. That'd be interesting.
Cool. But I do got to say that visually this game looks incredible. The Fox Engine seems really cool, and I can't wait to see what the actual whole thing is like. So looks really nice, and the animations are pretty great too. So
awesome.
Cool.
So that's it for the second segment. When we get back, we're going to jump into the community segment. Welcome back to the third and final segment of the Radio Radar episode 54 podcast. We don't have any reviews this week. Do we have any corrections?
No, we were flawless last week.
Nice, we did it. Oh wait, we do have one. We have somebody called us out on when we said all the big third party games are coming out on the Wii U also this year.
Oh right.
People mentioned Grand Theft Auto.
I think it was Bladed Falcon that called us out on
yes.
that.
Yes. Though we were specifically talking about the ones that are coming to next gen also. So less it is still a correction,
yeah.
But understand that that's the reason there was an excuse for the correction. So let's first jump into game deals before we get to the community segment. And I gotta
take my advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
All right, let's see if we can't save you a few bucks today. So we got
that song.
All right.
What are you buying?
That's right. We need that sound effect.
All right, I'll get it
There's
for next
a correction.
Week. I'll get it for next week. PlayStation 3, you can get Tales of Zillia for $50 on Amazon. Sleeping Dogs used for $10 through Gamefly. That game is super good too. If you haven't played it yet, really recommend it. And if you're deciding if you want Call of Duty World at War for some reason, if you're like, fuck, I really want to hear Kiefer Sutherland in a game because he did do a voice in that game, $5 at Walmart, but you have to go to the store and pick it up. If you want a Vita game, you can get the Vita Walking Dead bundle for $200. Comes with Vita Walking Dead, $10 gift card towards a PlayStation Plus membership, or you can get Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation for $12 in the UK. If you go to Game,
well, then so that is that £12 in the UK and not $12.
£12.99, yes. Mm-hmm. Xbox 360 also has that Sleeping Dogs deal. And Xbox wired controller for $28, which from Newegg, which is worth getting if you do not have one, because it's great to put into your PC if nothing else.
Yeah,
it's the best. I remember for years there was just not a good PC controller. It's crazy how long it took.
Yeah,
to get
really
a good
did.
PC controller.
And do you have one of those dongles so you can use a wireless 360
I do not.
Controller? That would be incredible.
I
need to invest heavily.
The only reason I don't need that is because my computer is right next to my couch
monitor,
where
right,
I play
yeah.
it anyway, and though it would be nice.
It would be nice.
3DS, you got Fire Emblem Awakening for $34.99 from Newegg.
It's not that much of a price,
but no, but it's nice. Super Smash Bros. Pre-order, also $34.99 through Newegg, if you want to wait for a year. BioShock Infinite download from Newegg for PC for $15.99. Borderlands 2 download for $11.99. Those are both Newegg.
Nice.
And Dark Souls Prepare to Die Edition for $7.49 through Amazon. SimCity Deluxe 4 Deluxe Edition download is $5 through Gamersgate. Star Wars Pinball is free on iOS this month.
Good game.
And you get a Borderlands 2 loot chest if you for $99 if you buy through ThinkGeek. Just buy the whole thing. It comes with in-game and out-of-game swag.
Is that that's it, like that physical,
the crazy special
yeah,
edition
giant loot chest?
Yeah.
Oh no, it's not even giant. It's like 18 inches. I think I read.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
18 inches can be pretty
for $100.
Yeah, let's roll on to the community segment.
Oh wait, did you guys get that? Did you guys see that Nintendo sale email this morning? It was a press release.
No,
it said. Three top Wii games are on sale. And I had to double read it. Like, they must mean Wii U games, right? They wouldn't send out a press release about Wii games. But no, it was Wii games. So now, though I would have assumed they were that price already, Super Mario Galaxy 2, New Mario Brothers Wii, and Wii Sports Resort have finally been busted down from $50 to $30.
Like, yep. Now's the time.
It's crazy that
they're
still charging that much for it.
What better time than the present, right?
If you have yet to play Mario Galaxy 2, come on. Get with it.
Come on.
Gimme.
Zach looks so confused.
Who was that?
That was
a fan sent that in.
LJ Rivaloria.
Yeah. Yeah, he sent in the growl at the end was
that was me. That was all Greg.
That was we called out people to send us a community jingle, and that was the best one, and we are so happy with it.
Yeah, and if you guys like want to come up with other jingles for other segments,
yeah, reviews,
feel free. That'd be awesome.
I really want one for corrections.
Ooh, that'd be a good
I think
one.
It'd be fun to have one of just Henry going, well, did you know, in remix form.
Oh, yeah. That would be sweet.
And we would totally give prizes if we like them.
Definitely.
We got so many prizes to give, too.
My giveaway pile is enormous. Since we're not doing
lousy with Arnett sunglasses.
Yeah, the sweet, sweet Arnetts anymore.
There's a 3DS in there. That's
sweet, sweet relief.
I mean, I know there's a 3Ds in there.
Oh, that's right.
And speaking of the 3Ds, that brings us from last week's question of the week. What would have been a better name for the 2Ds? And let's see. So we got some good answers. Super Scroll 99 said the doorstop.
I actually thought that the suggestion was the Super Scroll 99. And I'm like, that's a friggin' awesome name for a handheld.
Wade Smith said the bed shitter.
Ooh.
The bed shitter.
The bed shitter.
Come on.
Shasta said the XDSY because you're only going to buy it anyways because your child is forcing you for Pokemon X and Y. Dangomushi said Pokedex, which.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, it could just be a Pokedex.
Yeah, if they just released it. If they only released it with Pokemon X and Y and called it the 3DS Pokedex edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darth Ender X also called it the Super Pokedex.
Mm.
Let's see. How would you pronounce that?
We're going to go with Cheburashka.
Cheburashka.
There's a 3 in there is the issue.
Mm. I thought it was hilarious how the lady pronounced 2Ds to 3Ds, but after you said it a bunch, it sounds totally natural. Hashtag 2Ds for life.
Yes.
Cody Stovall, I'd call PDA for poop dual screen. Ooh. Or simply the poop, though I already play with my 3Ds in the bathroom. Too bad I don't have any Arnett sunglasses to maximize my coolness whilst making a push.
I may actually buy
one of these to use with my friends who don't have one I want to play multiplayer with. P.S. Push is a Venture Brothers reference, by the way.
I was hoping it was meant to be a Venture Brothers reference.
LJ Rivola says I'd go with the Nintendo 2Ds because kids somehow seem it's cooler where there's a Z instead of an S.
So there was a Z.
Whenever I see DZ, I think of Discovery
Zone. Yeah, DZ Discovery Zone.
Discovery Zone.
That one of their fun rooms had those lines of elastic bands you could climb on, and every time I would fall down that shit and hurt myself.
But you'd be having a great time with a smile on your face the whole time.
He loved it.
The winner this week is Cyber Ninja with, I would call it, the 3DS Kids. That way parents wouldn't be confused by the name.
That was a good one.
Very standard, you know.
Sometimes we appreciate actual responses to our questions.
Yeah, the 3DS.
Believe
kids,
it or not,
2Ds. Let's see.
So next, email us.
Yeah, emails are. Oh yeah, Cyber Ninja, you won some sweet Arnetts. You won something cool from the giveaway pile. Email me.
It can be Arnetts.
Yeah, I mean, if you want the Arnetts,
they are the superior choice in sunglasses.
If you go ahead and email me, greg@gamesrare.com, and I will send you a list of all the cool shiz we have in the giveaway pile. And now that I'm looking at it, we didn't come up with a new question of the week.
How about
what? You say
what?
On,
what? How about in? Have you
it's
ever?
My job, but I pawn it off on.
How about you never? Going
go
off the top seven.
Uh-huh.
Has there ever been a really hard unlockable you've tried to get and succeeded or not? So I'll say that I grinded like crazy to get Bigorin Sword in original Ocarina of Time, doing all of this dumb quests, getting the eye drops for the motherfucking giant Goron, riding my horse all over the place, doing everything you could do to get, even getting fake Bigorin Sword, which breaks right away and just shatters your heart. And this was an era before internet was as easy to use as it was, so I was using a strategy guide.
Oh, Cheat Planet.
Yes.
Does it have to be a real unlockable? Because I tried for days to get Sonic and Tails in Super Smash Bros. Melee, only
you
to find out
that
they don't exist.
I think that counts.
You are very young. That
is true. I was in fourth grade.
Huh. Well, I always wanted I was in when I was hardcore into WoW. I always wanted one of the legendary weapons that you needed. You had a you'd have to build them in parts, and you had a super small percentage chance that even one piece of that hole would ever drop during a raid boss fight. I never got any of the parts, but I always was jealous of the people who had those things.
Well, for mine, the biggest one would be it was Advanced Wars Dual
Strike
of the Plane.
DS,
yeah, D's. So playing Advanced Wars D's, I loved that game so much that I beat every level like twice. I beat then there's all these optional maps you can play. That I beat all of them a bunch of times. And my game clock was about 100 hours. But then I found out you can get alternate costumes for every general in the game. You just have to get them to level 10, which involves grinding for about 10 hours with each of them. So 10 more hours on top of how leveled I had got them to that point. And I was like, well, I just moved to Berkeley. I don't have a job yet. I'll just do this while I'm waiting a job. And so eventually at about the 200th hour, I had unlocked all but four of the alternate costumes of like the two dozen generals in the game. Oh, and I got into my four least favorite. And at that point, I was like, F this. I'm not unlocking these guys.
Mine would be the original Dead Rising had a... It's not so much of an unlockable as it was one of the most impossible achievements of all time.
Well, achievements count as unlockables,
yeah,
I'd say, sort of.
Yeah, they pop up. But there was the one that where you had to kill, like, 53,000 zombies.
I think it was called Zombie Genocide.
Yeah, it was the population of that town,
right,
or something. Finally got that one. Basically, you just take a car down in the lower section and
I remember
plow
that.
Back.
Or was
and forth.
Was it there or was it in like the circular area? There was
In the lower section they were way more concentrated, so you could just plow through them. But then your car would break, and so you'd have to go find another car and then do the same thing over and over again. But there's one that I never got called 7 Day Survivor, and I tried that one like 100 times.
Wow!
And
did you ever get
it's
close?
Still out there. I think I got to day 6. And,
were you like, this is it?
Yeah, and eventually died and then just like broke the disc in half out of fury. But,
nice.
That achievement still eludes me to this day.
Did you otherwise 100% that game?
I guess. Like 99% of that game, yeah. It haunts my nightmares.
So yeah, question of the week.
Yeah, what's an I don't know. You said
no. I'm saying that's the question of the week.
Oh, I thought you were looking at me like, what's the?
No, I'm saying I'm letting you to. Okay, I was just gonna say to do the you have to comment thing.
Oh yeah, if you
say it at the same time.
If you have an answer to the question of the week, feel free to leave it in the comment section down below the Radio Radar podcast, or you can email it to GregH@GamesRadar.com, which I have been getting some. So thank you for doing that, guys. You can do 140 characters at Games Radar. How else can they get hold of us?
You could review us on iTunes and put your answer there.
You could.
There's a very small chance we'll see it.
Only if you put 5 stars, though.
Yeah. And
we should do that for 1 week.
You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and leave your comments there.
Oh, yeah, for shows like Star Wars Battlefront Weekly and Super Smash Brothers Wii U Weekly and... What's the other one? Pokemon X and Y
Weekly. I'm thinking we should change them to game name report instead of weekly. That way, if we ever decide we want to make one less weekly, we don't have to make new assets.
Mm.
Just the concept behind the curtain. Also, follow us on GR Radio Radar on Twitter.
Yes.
You can find out about important information like Henry Gilbert's birthday there before you'd find out anywhere else.
Well, unless you were my Facebook friend, but I don't.
Or just your IRL
I don't
friend.
Even use Facebook.
It took about a year for you to finally accept me as friend, Henry.
Well, it took me. Well, that was for when I signed up for Facebook and even used it at all. But because I still don't like giving out all that information to, like, Facebook, man. Why you trust it? Why does everybody trust Facebook, huh? Mm-hmm. You see that?
You got to trust Microsoft with everything, like a real man.
Not real sure what information I would care that people got that it's on Facebook. That's the thing. Yeah.
Just be smart about what you put up there.
Yeah, my credit card number. It's my new status.
Selfies, nude selfies.
Yeah, nude selfies.
My favorite thing was a newspaper or something recently wrote an article on how many people were taking pictures of their credit cards, numbers and everything, when they leave them in an ATM machine or something. They'd be like, found my credit card, take a picture of the full card, post it on Twitter.
Oh my God.
What is wrong with you?
No,
are
my
people
favorite,
that dumb? Clearly this guy closed down.
I think the guy got turned off the Twitter because it was kind of almost criminal or just too mean. But I followed this Twitter for about a couple weeks called My First Debit Card. And he just, the owner of the Twitter account would do a search of like, first debit card, first card. It was just like, I just got my first credit card in the mail. I'll take a picture of it. Cool, huh? And all the people responding are like, that's you idiot.
You now have to destroy that card.
Yeah.
Cool, I just got my social security number.
There was also a Twitter that I think just retweeted people saying they were going on long vacations. Because technically you could rob their houses. Like there was it was just nothing. I think that got taken down too. And or maybe the guy was just like, all right.
Nobody's home at my house. I'll be gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I didn't even lock it. I feel so safe in my neighborhood. Well, here's my address.
Why do people do geo-tracking like on tweets and stuff? Like, here's exactly where I am. If you're trying to kill me, I'm right here. There's a comedian I followed. He tweeted like a funny cover. Like he had some joke about a magazine that he had gotten in the mail. But he didn't realize he took his address is stamped on the magazine, so he revealed it to all of his followers.
Bad call. All right, so yeah, that you can reach us in all of those places, and
like our homes.
Yeah, if you want to come to our homes, you can check Henry's Facebook or his MySpace to find out where he lives.
Uh-huh.
I'm just imagining what Henry's autoplay music tracks would be on his MySpace page.
Mario theme.
No, I never did any of that stuff.
Mario theme.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you next week. All right, you can look at. All right, yeah, pull the other card. So essentially, you're just going to put. Henry's going to put down a card, and you're going to have to put down a card from your hand. So put down a card. Greg,
what?
Swear to God, I will murder your face. So what's that card say, Henry?
Which created a bigger buzz?
Now you look at your cards, and you choose the game that you think created the biggest buzz, and you put it face down. And then we're going to have a quick argument about it. I will start with Fruit Ninja. Fruit Ninja single-handedly proved that single-tap slashing thing could work on mobile to the point where there became arcade versions and friggin' Kinect versions. That game blew the hell up.
I'm going to go with Dota because Defense of the Ancients, a Warcraft 3 mod, actually practically invented a whole new genre, the MOBAs, which are now the most played games that exist of all time and are one of the most important genres in the esports scene. So, I think there's a you could say this created quite the splash when it came out. Oh,
this was about buzz, not splash, Ryan.
It's the same thing.
Mine created a buzz, and that is Fruit Farmville. Fruit Farmville.
Fruitville Station.
Fruitville Farm. It basically created Facebook games, the bullshit that is choking this industry lifeless. And now, you know, it started this huge boom in development. This is where all the money was, like all these people got jobs at these the firms. Like it's hard to think of something that caused a bigger buzz than Farmville in the last decade. Maybe Minecraft, maybe.
I used to live with two dudes that both worked at Zynga, and they were brothers.
Were they the brothers Zynga?
They were the brothers Zynga.
Statistically speaking, they must have been laid off by now.
I'm sure they were. But this is back when I was an intern at PCG. I was roommates with them.
Who's next? Someone flip a card.
I'm going to have to go with Epic Mickey. I think. Well, no, it's great because you know, growing up,
Farmville, Henry, give me a break.
Growing up, we had the cute Mickey Mouse, and then Epic Mickey. I think was a really great decision to grow Mickey up with its target audience, and was kind of a way to make him more of like a teen sort of demographic. And I really enjoyed it. I would say myself.
Did you play Epic Mickey too?
No,
it kind of sucked.
No,
yeah, it sucked.
No,
yeah.
Okay. Mine is about buzzing, and it is Centipede. Because there's a lot
centipedes
of...
Centipedes don't buzz.
Well, insects buzz. I bet if a centipede stood up and, like, clapped all of its hands together, it would make a buzzing sound.
Before somebody puts this in the corrections, I don't think it's...
That's what it would sound like.
Before someone puts it in the corrections, I don't think a centipede is an insect. I think it's an arachnid.
Centipedes are insects.
It's a reptile.
Arachnids have 8 legs.
I don't think it's a. I don't think it's an insect.
Oh yeah, you're totally right.
Wait a sec. No.
Boom.
Yeah, that's
Look
what that's what a rack means, Henry.